place I'd rather be. No presence, Lord. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. I'm like a flood and saturate me now. You're all I want. Come like the wind and sweep throughout this place. You're all we want. Come like a flood and saturate me now. You're all.
Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, we're going to give you the opportunity to greet each other. There will be an usher at the back of the offering plate where you can worship with your wallet. But just want to give you opportunity to shake hands of those around about you. Tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of God on Wednesday night as we sing. Bless you for standing. You may be seated. Do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. Remind you, service schedule Sunday. Again, we are in our new format, two services on Sunday morning and then Sunday night. We finished up our marriage seminar last Sunday, and so this Sunday night is the fellowship party, if you will, for all those that were a part of that. We welcome you to come to our residence on Sunday night at 6 o'clock there to have, we'll call it a wrap-up fellowship for the marriage seminar. And also during that time, we will be talking a little bit about Revival by Design. You're going to hear a little bit more about Revival by Design as Brother DeTemple and I were talking before service. He is an advocate. They have used it. And so you'll be hearing more about Revival by Design. As many of you know, that is a curriculum that we are going to be getting into during our Sunday nights with the change of our format. And so we'll be introducing that to some extent during the fellowship. And it's going to take good, strong couples in the church. They're going to facilitate it and help us to be able to structure it in a way where we're reaching, you're reaching, your family members, friends, associates, coworkers, establishing home groups, those sort of things. And there's a lot to it. And it's a very robust curriculum, if you will. But if we will put the energy and the effort into it, we will reap. And God will give us bountiful blessings as a result. And so we're looking forward to that. I know there are probably many, many needs represented here in the house. Before we go to that, I do want to say, for those of you that are going to Feed My Starving Children, those of you that know you've signed up for that, if you're planning to ride with the church van, you need to be here by 5 o'clock on Friday. We are pulling out of the parking lot at 5 o'clock on Friday. We have to be there 5:45 to start packaging, putting things together for that program. As many of you know, those of you signed up for it, it's a program where we put food packages together to go to other countries to help those that are in need. And so we get together as a church, and we this is the first time that we're doing it as a church. Some from this assembly have done it before, but we're doing it as a church, and so we're looking forward to the time together. And so that is happening on Friday night at 6 o'clock. The address has been scrolling on the screen with our announcements. And then on Saturday, you were invited. We ask you to come and help witness and celebrate a wedding. Brother Bruce and Sister Michelle, their wedding here, 2 o'clock on Saturday. And just looking forward to that. And then, of course, regular scheduled services on Sunday. If you have a prayer request, why don't you just slip up your hand real quick? We're not going to take the time to go to all the individual needs, but did you have an announcement? Okay. All right. For those of you that need the information on that, the wake at FAC of Aurora from 3 to 7. Okay. And on another note, a week from this Friday, if you like good worship music, if you like IBC, that type of music, they are having what they're calling a worship extravaganza. It is a week from this Friday night at First Apostolic Church, slow down, of Aurora. And that is open to any and all. It starts at 7:30. There's quite a few groups that will be there. They're calling it kind of like a Beyond Worship concert. And so you can go be a part of that. That's happening a week from this Friday. Thank you for jogging my memory with that. Let's stand and let's take these needs of the Lord in prayer. And God, knowing every individual need, I know normally we take the time to go through and allow you to say those needs, but the Lord knows those needs. And let's go to Him collectively right now. If you would like to be anointed and pray for it, it's always proper. It's always good that you would come forward and be anointed and pray for it, and we will certainly facilitate that, the elders of the church. Why don't we pray right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you, Lord. We know that many people here represent a multiplicity of needs, God. Lord, we know, God, that you're able to meet and supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory, God. And you're able, God, to supply the needs of those around about us. Lord, let us be ministers. Let us be vessels of your choosing to reach the situations and circumstances that surround our lives, God. Lord, for those that are needy, for those that need your help and your strength, God, let us see the need, God. Let us be led of your Spirit, God, to impact and influence them in a positive way as we are moved by the power of the Holy Ghost to be a witness, God, in the world in which we live. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you for your goodness, Lord, your mercy, your grace, and your love. We are such a privileged people, God, to be a part of who we are. We serve you, God, and we thank you, Lord, that we have opportunity to do such. We are such privileged people, God. We worship you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, God, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Elders, why don't you come forward and help me anoint and pray for Sister Sue Ann right now in the name of Jesus. Before you're seated, we, without further ado, want to bring to this pulpit, Brother DeTemple, Just met him prior to service, but then we realized we had probably, our travels had probably crossed some time ago. He is out of a church that I was acquainted with early in my ministry. And it's Pentecost is such a small world. It's a wonderful small world. And it's you know, you're not too many degrees of separation between people when it comes to Pentecost. But we're just so delighted to have Brother and Sister Temple here. And little Esther, she's around here somewhere. Oh, she's downstairs. Why don't you welcome them? Brother Temple, come.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's an honor to be here tonight. You all may be seated. I don't make people stand as long as I preach. I try to be nice once in a while. No. It is an honor to be here with you, kind people, your pastor and his wife and beautiful family and leadership of this church. I give honor to you. You know, in a day of today, it could be easy to say, I'm done. It could be easy to say that. It could be easy to say, it's just easier to change what we preach or teach just to get the people. But we're not those type of people. We're people that hold to the truth. We're people that believe in what the Word says. And, you know, I believe we should honor people that hold to the truth. We should really be thankful that we have men and women that would be willing to say, I'm going to hold on to nothing less than the truth. And if when I find people like that and I find churches like that, I will tell you I'm grateful for it. Because you can't find that everywhere. You can't find that all over the world. And the way I know that is because I'm in a country where there's not really anybody that's ever heard the truth. There's one apostolic church in all of Georgia. It was started about 5 years ago, one apostolic church. The history of Georgia is a very bad history. You actually can trace the, somebody actually has, I haven't done it personally, but a former missionary has done it, where they trace the history of Georgia back to the Hittites. And if you don't know who the Hittites are, those are the ones that Saul was supposed to destroy but saved. And out of the Hittites, some of y'all would recognize this name, but his name is Stalin. He came from Georgia. He was a Georgian. He came from there, and he is part of that lineage. But I will tell you, Georgia, though, has never really heard the truth. Back in the days of the apostles, Andrew, actually, in their history, will tell you, came through Georgia, and it says that they rejected the word. It's a sad history. A nation that was supposed to be destroyed, a nation that heard the gospel and rejected it back in the times of the book of Acts, back when Andrew was alive. But there's something happening today. They're bound by orthodoxy or false religion. They have it all over the church world, all over their nation. If you walk into a church, they don't have lights like this. All of it's all natural light. You walk in, it's very dark, very depressing. The only other light besides the natural light will be a candlestick when they light a little light in front of the saint and they kiss the saint and they let it burn. And eventually it will burn out and there's tombs all over the floor and people walk over them to get to whoever they need to pray to. And it's like that everywhere. There's new churches being built daily, Orthodox churches, and they're all over the city, all over the place. And you just walk in there and you feel depressed. You just feel down. And that's the nation we live in over there. But God is moving. I will tell you, God is moving. Where people are that really want to see God, God will move. God will do something. He's just looking for somebody that's hungry, and he's looking for somebody that may, you know, that's willing to go. And I will tell you, you know, there was a nation in the Bible that kind of sounds like they have a little bit of lineage like Georgia, but it was Nineveh, and Jonah was told to go to Nineveh, a nation that had nothing to do with God, was a sinful nation, and it was told to repent, and they did. And I will tell you, there's hope for Georgia because I see the younger generation now turning away from that false religion, turning away from their traditions and saying, you know what, I want something that's real. I want something that is true. And I will tell you, we've seen the changing over there. It seems like it could be bad, but it's actually being good because people are starting to get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in Jesus' name. Before I get too far, actually, I'll show you a video so it gives you a little of a history of Georgia, a little bit, show you what it looks like a little bit over there, kind of show you where it's at. It's not southern part of America, I know. It's not where close to where he's from, you know. It's not anything like that. It's its own nation, so we'll show the video.
Or Saccardvelo to the locals, is a very small country surrounded on all sides. To the north is Russia, the south Turkey and Armenia, the west is the Black Sea, and southeast is Azerbaijan. The country of Georgia is very diverse. It is comprised of cities, villages, mountains, beautiful hidden valleys, and farms. Georgia has a population of approximately 4.5 million people, with more than half of the population living in the capital city of Tbilisi. The language Kartuli dates back many centuries and is unique specifically to Georgia. The language, culture, food, and hospitality of the Georgian people is a source of national pride. Throughout history, Georgia has been conquered by many nations, and the most recent invasion came from Russia in 2008. The people of Georgia, they are so precious. They are kind and welcoming, but they are also very oppressed. They are a very poor nation. If they are privileged to have a job, they can work up to 15 hours a day and make as little as $5 for that entire day. Many people do not even have jobs. They live in very small homes with multiple families sharing the same small space. Their faces reflect the struggle that they face every day. Georgia is deeply rooted in the Orthodox religion, and many of them would give their lives for the faith that they have and the beliefs and traditions they have been entrenched in for centuries. In fact, in the 14th century, there were 100,000 people killed by an invading nation because they were unwilling to denounce their belief in God and the Orthodox traditions. But praise God, there is a great hunger among the Georgian people to know who God is. They have been taught and told so many things in their lives, but God is bringing revelation and revival to the country of Georgia. We are seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. And they are crying out to God. In our service this, they are worshiping and praising God and weeping. And God is delivering families from the oppression of tradition and false religion. One young lady named Nino has an amazing and powerful testimony. She, along with her husband and beautiful little girl, attend our church in the capital city of Tbilisi. When Nina was young, her mother decided not to take her to an Orthodox church, which is very uncommon. Instead, she taught Nina that she could have an encounter with God. She taught her how to pray. Now Nina has been baptized and she worships God with all of her heart. Every time she speaks to us, she tells us how grateful she is that she knows Jesus and he takes care of her and that he saved her from the Orthodox religion. With tears streaming down her face, she expresses her gratitude to God in her praise and worship. She may not have every material thing, but she has so much and she is so thankful for it. There is a nation of people just like Nino, crying out for Jesus. In a country of 4.5 million souls, there is only one apostolic church. Will you pray for us? Will you partner with us to reach the nation of Georgia? God has called us to this country, and it is our desire to return to our home. There are so many people who are crying out to God, who are ready to leave behind traditions and move into a relationship with Jesus.
Hallelujah. It's a nation that doesn't know God yet. I'll tell you, I don't know what that's like, to grow up not hearing about true Christian way of living. I can't tell you what that's like, because I didn't know that. I was blessed to be born in a church that preached truth. I was blessed to be born in this nation that let us hear truth. First trip I actually made over to the Republic of Georgia was actually in 2012. And tonight I'm going to tell a little bit about it. You know, one of the things I like to do is I like to encourage. I want to encourage, and I want people to understand that we can do this. I heard it my whole life growing up, that God is coming back for a strong church. He's not going to come back for some weak and anemic church. And I believe that with my whole heart, that our church, when God comes back, isn't going to be on, you know, just barely standing or barely making it by, but it's going to be a church that is strong and that is victorious. I believe that with my whole heart. And so if there's one thing I want to do tonight, is I want to encourage us that God is still on the throne, that God is still moving, God is still doing great things, and He has still great things in store for us. I don't believe God is done yet. Because if He was done, we would surely not be here. You know, we would be gone already. Hopefully we'd be gone, right? We'd live right. We'd be gone with Him and meet Him in the clouds. You know, I plan on being there. And that's where I plan on being. But in 2012, if you would understand, I heard you guys, it kind of got me excited. I hear you guys are starting RBD, Revival by Design. I'm excited because I actually love RBD. And he knows the missionary that was there before, Jared State, and I was working with him. I showed up, and Jared taught me RBD in 2012. We sat down for 2 weeks, and he went through the whole course in 2 weeks with me. And it started with seven of us. Me, Jared, his wife, and four little girls. And we started our prayer walks, and praying and fasting. And on the fifth day of our prayer walk, me and Jared ran into this young man from Nigeria who was there for school, walking down the street. And Jared stopped and said, "Watch this, Daniel." I actually missed that. And he started this conversation with this guy. And that guy was actually on his way to another church to talk to the pastor about Jesus. He was wanting to know about Jesus. And we just so happened to be walking upside the sidewalk that he was. We just happened to be right where our car was. It was right where we met him. And honestly, I don't believe in coincidences with Jesus. I believe God is ordaining my steps. It ordains the steps of his people. And so I believe that God was ordaining our steps. And this guy was talking to us that night, and we had a Georgian group we were working with at the time. And Jared invited him to the Bible study. And he said, "Well, I got to go meet with this pastor, but if I get done in time," he said, "I'll definitely come and be at your Bible study." Well, he did. And he must have liked it, because the next day he showed up to the Georgian church service that we are part of. And Jared was teaching them how to teach a Bible study through RBD lessons. He was trying to help them. And in that service, that young man received the Holy Ghost. And God started moving. We're just now day six of our prayer and fasting. You know, that's what we were on. And we were there, and on the way home, I was talking to him about baptism in Jesus' name. I rode the Metro home, and by the time we got to the house, he had decided that he wanted to be baptized in Jesus' name. So we filled up the baptistry, and we baptized him in Jesus' name. Now, I will tell you, in RBD, it tells you to pray for 10 key contacts, not just 10 people, but key contacts. This young man, he was only there for a month. That's it. He ended up going to Turkey for work and stuff like that, so he left. But that young man, in 2 weeks' time, introduced us to 72 people. You talk about a key contact. It was out there every day with the young man, just teaching him a Bible study while we're going down the street. And he's sitting there stopping every so many minutes to introduce me to somebody else, and somebody else. And we're just walking down the street, and I'm talking to him, and I'm teaching him, and we're going through everything. And we had our first international house church or Bible study. And in our first one, we had 28 people show up. I was, like, amazed, because I know what it's like. You know, I showed up, and when Jared told me his vision and the plan of everything, I thought he was crazy. And if you know Jared, you might think that, too, when you meet him a little bit. he understands a little bit. Jared's a wild dude, and he has a great vision, and that's a good thing. And it started working, and God started opening my eyes to how it works and how he wants to do things and do great things in this world. And it's just a matter of people buying into what he's wanting to do. You know, revival does not happen by accident. Revival in this end time is not going to just happen because, oh, one day we wake up and it's there. Revival happens on purpose, and that is what revival by design does, is it tries to make it so that way we are doing it by the design of God, that we're not just going to say one day we're going to wake up and this church will be at 2,000 people. It'd be cool if it worked that way, but it doesn't. But God started moving. God started doing great things, and we started meeting more and more contacts and other people. I mean, I could talk all night. Trust me, I could. And I'm not going to, because I know y'all have to work tomorrow. But I started watching God move in ways I've never seen him move before. I saw God open doors like I've never seen him open doors before, because we were walking in where he was leading us to go. We were doing things that he asked us to do and showed us in the scriptures to do. And we started moving. And I will tell you, we had our first service in April. And we had 32 people in our first service. Now, you got to understand something. Our first service, 32 people, and yet our room sat 28 people. Our church building that we were using at the time sat 28 people. Actually, in that year of June, my wife, actually, who was not my wife at the time, hadn't even met her yet, came to Georgia for a conference, end of June, beginning of July. And we were holding a conference, and we passed out 18,000 flyers on Georgian and in English. We were getting to the day of the conference, and the Orthodox Church got on national TV and threatened to kill us. If we had the conference, they threatened to kill the hotel manager. And so needless to say, they shut down us from having it there. We ended up going somewhere else, and God still moved, and we had 5 people get the Holy Ghost and 3 baptized in Jesus' name. I was just amazed at what God was doing, and we found out later on that there was 300 people standing outside the doors wanting to go in there. But they wouldn't let us go there, so we weren't allowed to tell them. But God was moving, and we were just following where he was moving. You know, God doesn't follow us. We follow him. We should follow after his spirit and where he's moving and where he's leading us. And honestly, when we get into that thing, things just seem to come easier. They just come smoother for us. And is there hardships along the way? Yes, but when God is moving, the hardships seem so small, seem so little. Well, at the end of July, we finally had found our place at the beginning of July, and we were a new place that we could grow into, and we had to do a lot of remodeling. And we finally moved in there at the end of July. We were moving in. And that room that I told you that seat 28 people, we had 72 people in our last service in that room. You talk about a packed place. Altar call, time to give it. And, okay, raise your hands if you want the Holy Ghost. And there's nobody really praying for them. They're just going to receive it. At the end of that year, 1 year. Now, you got to understand, our vision was that we could really get 10 key people. And we could train them, and we could help, you know, grow them and disciple them and train them and help them become more like Jesus. So that way, the next year, they can make groups, and they can go out and reach out to people and do the same thing. And we're thinking by the end of maybe year two, we'd be at 100 people. By the end of year one, we were over 100 people. By the end of the first year, we had over 150 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. 5 years later, we have over 600 people get the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And that's just in the Republic of Georgia. I will tell you, we have an international church. We have Georgians coming. I will tell you, there's just so many things that God is doing just by when you get your footsteps ordered by God. He just moves and he just blesses those things because it's what he wants us to do. He wants us to walk where he wants us to walk. We need to go where he wants us to go and do the things what he needs us to do. People ask me, how did you meet these people? I said, well, I just walked the streets. I just walked wherever I wanted to go. There's a guy who is now our teaching director, really, in the Republic of Georgia. I met him in Georgia on the metro. Actually, I was on my way to baptize somebody at Jared's house. And usually when I get somebody baptized, somebody, I want to take a taxi, get them there quick so they can't change their mind, you know. And let's get them there quick so that way they just can't change their mind. They're ready to be baptized. Let's go. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, the next fastest thing is to take a Meshuggah, which is a van full of about 40 people, and they cram in there. And it's packed, and it's not the best, but it's faster. But I said, no, I'm going to take the metro. And it takes me about an hour, hour and 15 minutes by metro to get there, which the other places could take 10 minutes to 20 minutes. Time difference is a lot. But I took the metro that day, and on the way there to baptize this young man, I met this guy named Reuben Isaac. He's still in the church today. He's still there. And I asked him, I started talking to him, and I said, Reuben, I said, can I meet up with you after I baptize this guy, and we'll do lunch together, and we can talk about Jesus? He said, well, can I just go with you? I said, sure. I said, sure. Well, the guy came. We spent about 3-4 hours together teaching him a Bible study. He didn't get the Holy Ghost that day, but he did get it eventually. He got baptized in Jesus' name. It's just a matter of finding out where God wants you to go and do the things that he wants you to do. Me, I would usually take the fastest route there. I mean, it's salvation. I mean, come on. Get somebody there, get baptized in Jesus' name, right? But God was leading me that day. Don't go that way. Let me lead you to somebody else. Let me lead you a different route that maybe goes a different way, but there's somebody I want you to meet. There's somebody I want you to talk to, because later on he'll be a key part in the church. He'll be somebody that will help others grow, who will help disciple others, who will make sure that what's being taught is what's supposed to be taught, and he's going to become a key part in the church. It's just a matter of finding people like that, that you say, God, who are those people that you want me to meet? And I mean, there's stories. There's a guy who got baptized in Jesus' name, and he went home, and he was raised Trinitarian, but he believed in the Holy Ghost. He had the Holy Ghost. His dad's a pastor back in India, and he went back home to India and told his dad, Dad, you've been doing it wrong your whole life. Dad, let me teach you. Now, he did it with respect, and he let me teach you the truth. And he taught his dad the truth. His dad's a pastor. He turned around and believed what he was taught and was baptized in Jesus' name and has rebaptized his whole church in Jesus' name. I will tell you, it's not just about what we can think in our own mind, but what can these people that we're teaching do? We have people that are from Nigeria that have gone back to Nigeria, and one young man that just went home this past year, he went and helped the missionary go baptize 32 different people in Nigeria this year because he was translating for them. It was pastors, it was different people. There's God is opening doors. It's just a matter of finding where God is moving and move with those steps and find out where God is. It's not about God, you follow me, but God, let me follow you. God, let me be led in your footsteps and in your direction. Because God, I don't want to do things my way. And I will tell you, I love revival by design. It's a great thing. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 28, I know most of us know this, but it says Matthew 28:19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Teaching them. In another version, it says actually teaching, discipling all nations, making disciples. You know what we're called to do? We're called to make disciples. Go and tell somebody about Jesus and make a disciple. Make somebody to help train somebody to grow to become like Jesus. I can't reach this world in and of myself. I can't reach all of Georgia in and of myself. But what happens is if I take somebody and I teach them, and then if they can turn around and teach somebody else and tell somebody more about Jesus, I will tell you it's more effective that way than one person trying to disciple them all. Jesus had disciples, but he told them to go make disciples. Go do something. Go get your own disciple. Go train somebody else. Go teach somebody else what's supposed to be done. Teach them how to do this, because we can't do this on our own. We can't reach this world on our own. We need people that will go out and do great things, that will go out there and teach somebody else about Jesus. Go and tell somebody else about God. And you say, well, I'm insignificant and I can't do it on my own. To me, that's a bunch of nonsense. I'm not the best articulate person. I can't speak Georgian or Kartulad. My wife's better at speaking it. I understand it better. But I can't speak it all that well, but I will tell you, God moves. This past summer, we had a contact call us. His name was Zura. His picture actually was up there on the screen. He was one of them that was getting prayed for. He called my wife's broken phone. We don't know how he got her number, because her number was not known to many people. He called looking for a pastor that preaches about Jesus. And I so happened to be home. Her phone just so happened to work. It just so happened to ring, and I answered it. And I said, hello. And his broken English, he said, are you a preacher? I said, yes. He said, I want to know about Jesus. I said, okay, I'll teach you about Jesus. Yeah, okay. I show up the next day with me and another young man. And I go teach him about Jesus, and I come to find out, really, he can't understand a word I'm saying. And I have nobody translate for me. I was like, oh, Lord, what are you going to do? Because, God, you better teach me Georgian quick. And actually, come to find out, if God would have taught me Georgian quick, it wouldn't have helped, because he didn't speak Georgian either. He's Georgian and doesn't speak Georgian. He spoke Russian. He spoke different languages. But that young man, he introduced us to 20, 30 different people I taught Bible studies to throughout the time when he was there. While I was there, actually. And in one of the Bible studies, I asked him, I said, do you want the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, hoping he would understand what I was saying. And he raised up his hands in the midst of a Bible study. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. I couldn't communicate with him. I couldn't even show him, you know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I couldn't even tell him really that, and I was trying to show him, and it was hard for him to understand because, you know, all these different traditions were taught into him, and he had so much confusion going on. But God was moving. God was intervening. God says, I know there's limitations that you have, but if you just take what I get, what you have, and put it in my hands, I can get over the limitations. I can get over those little things that we hold in our mind that hold us up, and says, just put what you have in my hands and I will take it and I will use it beyond you ever thought or ever could imagine. And I will tell you, this young man, he got the Holy Ghost. He got filled with the Holy Ghost, and man, he was excited. And it was dangerous, though, because he'd say, Pastor, somebody else wants a Bible study. Okay, we'll go. 9 o'clock at night, I show up to people's houses. Come to find out, they didn't even know who I was coming. They didn't know anything. He just said they needed a Bible study. He's right, they needed a Bible study, but put you in some awkward positions. Yeah, and you can't communicate with them that well either. But God started moving, and God started doing great things. I will tell you, if we find the footsteps of God, nothing can stop us. If we can find out where he's moving and what he's wanting us to do, nothing can stop us. Revival by Design is a great tool. We've been doing it for 5 years, and I will tell you, it's because it's biblical principle. Revival by Design takes biblical principles and puts them into action. When we become, we act, do what the Bible tells us to do, great things will happen. Don't limit yourself. Don't let your mind limit what God has in store for this church. Don't let it limit what God has in store for your life, because I will tell you, what God has in store for you is greater than you could ever imagine. It's greater than anything you could ever think of. I will tell you, I never thought I'd be a missionary until God told me to go. I will tell you, I never thought that somebody would receive the Holy Ghost that I could never communicate with, but God still did it in front of my eyes. I will tell you, I never thought I would see things I would see. I never thought in 1 year, I'd see 150 people filled with the Holy Ghost, but I did in 1 year. I would tell you, God has expanded my vision and my thinking, and it was because I was just willing to go and do what he said to do. I encourage you, church, if you get behind this and you don't hold nothing back, say, God, what I have is small. I may be insignificant in my own mind, but God, I give it to you. In Matthew 14, God took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and fed the 5,000 men and then women and children. I will tell you, if he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed the multitudes, then what you have, if you would give it to him, he could feed this whole county, he could feed this whole nation. If the church of today would just give what they have, it would turn this world right side up. It would change this world forever. It may seem, what we see, what we think in our hands may not seem like it's enough to feed our county or our town, but I will tell you, if you give it to God, God will take it, he will bless it, he will break it, and he will multiply it, and it will feed more than you ever thought it would feed. It would reach and it will go further than you ever thought it would go. All you have to do is give it and put it in his hands. Pastor.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Brother DeTemple. Congregation, if you would stand. Many of you that have been around our organization for a while, you know how the program called Partners in Missions works. Many of you know that this church, I support quite a few missionaries from our local assembly to go and be in different parts of the world preaching the gospel. And I guarantee you, brother and sister, the temple have a burning desire to get back to the Republic of Georgia and continue the work therein. And they have just started on their deputation process, so sometimes that can be a rather long and arduous task. But if God lays it upon your heart to partner with them personally, please do so. Please don't. You don't need my permission. If you want to take a partner in mission slip and support them, you're supporting a worthy cause and a great couple doing a great work for the Lord. And there's also items back there on the table for you to peruse and purchase. I'm sure there's things available to purchase back there. But before we dismiss, I want us to take a few moments and I want us to pray for Brother and Sister DeTemple. Pray for the work in Georgia. 4.5 million people. One apostolic church. One. And let's pray that God uses them in a mighty way, that God continues to flourish. Brother Temple, before service, told me a little nugget that I'll probably steal at some point. I'm just going to tell you and preach it. But he talked about the law of reaping and sowing and how that when a farmer sows a seed, he doesn't expect to get back just that one seed. He expects to get back a lot of seeds. And that's the way God works. And if we'll just put forth the effort and we'll plant the seed, we will reap. But what we will reap will be so much more than what we've sown. And I believe that. I believe that's a godly principle. You believe that with me? Take it for what it's worth. I have a tendency to agree with Brother DeTemple. I don't believe much in coincidence when it comes to the things of God. I had no idea, none whatsoever, of the connection to the family, the state and family, nor did I have any idea of the connection to Revival by Design. Brother DeTemple had no idea that it was a program that we haven't started yet, but we have been pushing, been talking about it, and we are going to launch out and into it. And I believe that that's a God thing. Amen? So as we go to the Lord in prayer, and we ask God's blessing upon the Republic of Georgia, brother and sister, to Temple, let's also pray that God would work upon our hearts and our minds, that we would see ourselves getting involved. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, I thank you, God, for the heart of this family, God, the desire to go to a country, God. What a step of faith, God. I believe, God, in your power to use us to order our steps in your word, God. Lord, I pray a special blessing, God. My brother and sister, the Temple, little Esther, God. Lord, I pray that your hand would guide them, God. Order their steps, God. Let them see your direction, God. Vision and dreams, God, to lead, God, to help them make choices, God. Place people in their path, God, that will be influential, God, that will be key points, God, of other opportunities, Lord. Use them mightily, God. Do a great work. Continue, God, planting seeds in that country, God, among those people, God. Oh, God, that the change of traditionalism, God, that the change of rudiment, God, and things, God, that bang people, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use brother and sister to Temple, God, to break those chains and loose, God, through your power, God, those people that are bound, God. On the name of Jesus, God, we collectively as a body of believers, God, we bind together and we pray, God, for brother and sister to Temple. God, we believe, God, in your power to work in them and through them, God. Continue to see great things in you. And Lord, we pray for this church, God, for this body of believers, God, that we would see our need to get involved, God. To make disciples, God, to teach others, God. In your precious name, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Believe it to be done. Hallelujah. One more time, can you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Please take opportunity to peruse the table back there and fellowship. God bless you for making a point to be here in the house of the Lord on this midweek service. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.